A 16-year-old charged in a crash that killed a seventh-grade girl and put another teenager in a coma.
You never can prepare for something like this to happen.
What the girl's family is sharing with WRAL about the victims and the crash.
4 days, four chances for rain. We could also see strong winds and flooding potential. Futurecast shows what to expect each day of your holiday weekend.
Part of a Raleigh street shut down as fans prepare to cheer on the Canes tonight, new at 7, our one-on-one with head coach Rod Brind'Amour ahead of the pivotal matchup in Florida.
Right now at 7, new information tonight about a crash that killed a Franklin County 7th grader and left a 14-year-old critically injured. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. This is Madison Camptella. Police telling us that the 16-year-old boy who was speeding north on US 1 without his headlights on was involved in this crash before she was killed. WRAL's Shelley Jackson spoke with the teenage victim's family.
The crash that took 12-year-old Madison Camptella's life happened here on US 1. Maddie, as her family called her, was with her boyfriend Ray Evans and his mom.
They were just going to pick up her other son from work at McDonald's.
The North Carolina Highway Patrol says the 16-year-old driver of a Ford Mustang was speeding and driving without his headlights on. Maddie's boyfriend is in a coma.
Very critically injured, and they're waiting and hoping and praying for something good to happen.
Maddie was a seventh grader at Cedar Creek Middle School. Her aunt, Jenna Camptella, says she had a great sense of humor and made friends easily.
She was funny. She loved to make TikToks. She always made every person in the room laugh.
Now, Maddie's cousin, Hannah Camptella, is trying to make sense of what happened.
Losing someone in your family that's always been there is hard. And losing a light in your family is hard.
Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Devastating. The 16-year-old driver is facing several charges, including misdemeanor death.
A Harnett County High School teacher is facing close to 100 charges. Authorities say he had sex with students. Denny Dalton was a teacher at Triton High School when the offenses were reported to have happened. After school officials learned about the allegations, Dalton resigned. The sheriff's office says an investigation revealed multiple students reported several offenses during regular school hours. Dalton is in the Harnett County Detention Center.
I'm Mark Boyle in the WRAL Live Center. New tonight at 7 o'clock. Holly Springs police arresting a man they say was caught peering into a window into a child's playroom area. This is the mugshot released from the Holly Springs police of Jeremy Barber. Investigators went to Teal Lake Drive after a 911 call there. Parents in the home actually saw him, they say, come in off the street and look into their kid's playroom. That spooked them. They called 911 and police arrested that man just a short time later. This is not his first arrest. These are a screenshot right here behind me in the Live Center showing several of the mugshots for this man. You'll notice similar charges to other arrests, secret peeping. This is not the first time this has happened, according to the reports. We'll keep you updated as information comes out on this, and it's unclear exactly how many times this happened or if it was just that one house there in Holly Springs off of Teal Lake Drive. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. Frightening moments at a Cary Middle School this afternoon after a bomb threat. WRAL Sky 5 flew over the scene at Alston Ridge Middle School as students were evacuated. The students and staff went to their fire drill locations. The school says it found the threat on a Google document. Now, after investigating, police say the threat was not credible and the school was safe. Students were allowed to return to class and were dismissed on a regular schedule.
We've got some wet weather moving our way. We are tracking a wet Memorial Day weekend. Rain chances in the forecast several days. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center timing out when we can expect these showers, Kat.
They're going to move in, unfortunately, Dan, just in time for the holiday weekend. But the system that we're watching is an area of low pressure that's likely to develop off the southeast coast. The National Hurricane Center is now watching this system for potential development, but the chance that it will develop very low, just a 10% chance within the next week. Saturday morning, we are waking up to widespread rain. Some of this rain could move in as early as Friday night. It's going to be a windy day Saturday, cloudy and chilly, 65 degrees with rain. I would go ahead and move your plans indoors on on Saturday, and we may declare Saturday a WREL weather alert day, so check in for an update tomorrow when we get in the high-resolution model data. Coming up, I'll outline what to expect as we head into Sunday, and Monday could be the silver lining of the weekend, Dan.
I'll take a silver lining, Kat. Thank you. Our state is another step closer to legalizing sports gambling. Today, a Senate committee made some changes to the bill, and if they get their way, they'd be able to add bets and place bets online in person at sports venues. Sponsors say the state could be bringing in $60 million a year that we're not currently getting. Betting on horse racing would also become legal. The bill is expected to pass the Senate. After that, it has to go back to the House, and it's not clear if the House will agree to the changes.
Boy, I hope we see one of those Ajo goals we just showed. We are less than an hour now from puck drop. Game four in the Eastern Conference Final, and what could be the last shot at the Stanley Cup for the Carolina Hurricanes this year.
It is, yeah, this year. Yeah. This is a big one. It's a big one tonight. Canes fans rallying as we speak as the team looks for this comeback against the Florida Panthers in Florida. WRL's Aaron Thomas is downtown with some of them as they gather for a massive watch party.
And WRL's Pat Welter is in Florida where the action gets underway tonight at 8. And Pat, you spoke to Coach Rod Brind'Amour before the game tonight.
I did, Deborah, and I'll tell you what, these Panthers fans here behind me feeling very confident inside of this building. We just talked to one fan who told us they've been waiting 20 years for this. They're entitled. But the Canes, not fazed by that 3-0 series lead, they are very confident. That is the mood here as well for the team. Rod Brind'Amour explained why outside the locker room with me. Rod, yesterday I asked you about having nothing to lose, and I could see in your face it kind of struck a chord. Why?
Well, there's a lot to lose. We played all year great hockey, and to give us a chance to win the ultimate prize. And, you know, we know we're hanging on now. It's just, I know what you meant by it. There's, sure. There's no tomorrow. And but there's a lot to lose because we've invested a ton into this. And so, you know, it's listen, we're still here. We still got a game to play. And we know I loved how we played. If we can just get a goal here or there, this whole thing is a different story.
You invoked the name of Dominik Hasek yesterday when talking about Sergei Bobrovsky. I imagine you didn't do that lightly.
No, I think he's – I know because I played against him, and he won a series for, you know, a team that when I was playing back in the day, no one remembers. But and goalies have that impact, obviously, in this sport that they can do that. We just got, like I said – not get too frustrated. It's been a frustrating series for us. There's no doubt about it. But like I said, I like how we've played.
You talked about messages of encouragement you've received after some of these losses. Any in particular that stand out?
Well, none that I can really share. I mean, it's funny how everybody that's watching us is saying the same things. And, you know, they love how we're playing. It's just, you know, got to find a way to get it done. And it's been done before. And what's been done before is win a game. You know, we're not sitting here looking at, we've got to win four. No, we just got to win one.
You set the tone for the team. It's do or die. You go in the locker room tonight. What do you say?
Well, good question. I mean, that's what coaching is trying to figure out really how to say the right things at the right time. And so I'll come up with something, I'm sure. But I don't really have to say much this time of year. Guys know they've invested everything they possibly can, and that's what makes me proud about the group.
So no big pregame speech necessary. The players know what to do. I thought they were looked relaxed and focused at this morning skate. Sebastian Aho said this is not the last morning skate of the season. He says they know have to come out desperate, focused. Their backs are against the wall. Deborah?
Gotta love that confidence, and they have been playing very well. Pat Welter, live in Florida, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. In enemy territory, you saw all those Panthers jerseys walking behind.
That's right. We got this. And right now, local Caniacs who didn't make it to Florida are flocking area bars and restaurants to watch the hockey team.
WRL's Aaron Thomas live in downtown Raleigh for an official Canes watch party. Aaron.
Hey there, Dan and Deborah. So right now I'm beside, this is Anna. She's showing off her fancy Canes jersey. She's a self-proclaimed passionate Canes fan, also here with her father here. They've already got the buffalo chicken dip. One of the best food dishes to eat when you're watching sporting events. We also have several people that have already placed several of their orders, getting ready for this huge watch party here. I spoke with the general manager of Carolina Ale House. He says that he's expecting a pretty decent turnout of Caniacs fans, considering that there's a lot at stake for the Canes. team. And look down here on Tucker Street. Part of this street is closed off.
That is true. I mean,
right down there is a large screen where they will be projecting this game between the Carolina Hurricanes as well as the Florida Panthers. Folks also have the chance to order some food down there, grab a drink if they like. Things are starting to fill in just a little bit. I do see already two gentlemen that have their lawn chairs ready to watch at this huge game. As for describing what the atmosphere is like, some of these fans, they say that they're excited but also cautiously optimistic just because the team could either come back Friday for another game or it could be elimination. So obviously puck drops at 8 and a lot of these fingers, they are crossing their fingers and hoping that the Canes can pull out a win. Back to you.
I got a good feeling about it tonight. Yes. They got a nice setup over there,
right.
Too.
Oh, yeah, it looks so cool.
Aaron Thomas live in downtown Raleigh. Thanks, Aaron.
Now, the game starts at 8, win or lose, but we think they're going to win. WREL is your home for post-game coverage of the Canes. Hear from the players and our WREL sports team about all the big plays and takeaways from Game 4. It all starts at 11:25 p.m.
We all live in this digital world nowadays, and chances are a computer you use every day is from a company with headquarters right here in the Triangle.
Yeah, coming up, a live interview with a man leading Lenovo. We talk about tech and hiring for the PC maker that's been calling RTP home for 20 years.
New data shows Durham police are getting to emergencies faster when there is a ShotSpotter alert. People living and working in that technology's footprint tell me this is good news.
The world's largest PC maker with headquarters in the Triangle just released new numbers on yearly earnings. Lenovo is forecasting growth the second half of this year as much of the tech industry faces hurdles with many laying off employees. Vlad Rozanovich, president of Lenovo North America, joins us now live from RTP to talk through these new numbers and what it means for the tech sector. Vlad, thanks so much for joining us. Talk about how things are going here in North America, even compared to the rest of the world when it comes to Lenovo.
Yeah, you got it. First of all, Deborah, it is so wonderful to join you this evening. Thanks for having me on. And so you mentioned it, right? You know, Lenovo is the world's leading PC manufacturer. And we think about what we announced this past day on our earnings. In North America specifically, we talked about earnings of $14.75 billion. Now, that was down from last year, but only slightly compared to some of the other regions. In fact, North America had the best resiliency of all of the regions, and some of that has to do with our diversified portfolio of all of the products that we use to service the IT sector.
To talk about that, we know that the demand for PCs in general is falling. Talk about how Lenovo is trying to stay relevant with the tech that you're unveiling.
Sure. So first of all, we are not unwavering from our commitment to the PC and the client technology. In fact, being number one in the world allows us to really stay ahead on the innovation. When it comes to all of that innovation, so much of it happens right here in RTP. In fact, over 10,000 U.S. patents were issued here for Lenovo, 40% of which were originated from the women and men and the engineers that we have locally. And so when I think about PCs, it's not going away. But the thing that's really growing for Lenovo here in the North America market actually has to do with some of our other businesses that we're involved in. Our data center business actually grew 63% in the last year. And so those are the servers and storage devices that so many companies use to keep and collect and analyze data. And our services business was actually up 19% year over year here in North America. So the way we see it is over 60% of our revenue is still coming from those PC products. However, 40% of Lenovo's revenue now in North America is coming from some of those other businesses.
I took a tour of your campus. Can't wait to share those stories about what you're doing there. As we're wrapping up here, we only have about 30 more seconds. Tell us about Lenovo still hiring in the Triangle, but how has the pacing of hiring changed?
Yeah, well, you'll be glad to know, Deborah. One of the things I'm so excited about being on campus today is we actually have over 135 interns, 16 which come across from 16 different North Carolina colleges, all starting for the summer, some of which actually started this week. And so that was an exciting time for us. We're going to continue to invest in the Triangle area, make sure we really find the best and the brightest minds across engineering and marketing and finance and so many different parts of our business. Here at Lenovo, we really do believe in investing in the North Carolina communities, and we're not going to stop that hiring and making sure we are viewed as the premier technology company based right here in the Triangle.
Well, good luck to you. We thank you so much for your time, Vlad Rozanovic of Lenovo. Good luck with all of your efforts there, right there in RTP. We wish you the best.
Great. Thanks, Deborah. And go Canes.
Go Canes.
Durham police are getting to emergencies faster when there is a shot spotter alert involved. The median officer response time when the gunfire detection technology notifies police is almost a minute and a half faster than the average for all other calls. WRAL's Monica Casey spoke with people living and working in these shot spotter footprints about their thoughts on this at times controversial technology.
The use of ShotSpotter technology in Durham has been controversial, with strong opinions on both sides. Data shows police are getting to incidents with ShotSpotter alerts significantly faster. At just 80% staffed, the Durham Police Department has struggled for months to meet its response time goals. DPD's target average response time is 5 minutes, 48 seconds. From January to March of this year, they missed that target with an average of 6 minutes, 38 seconds. However, the median response time to shot spotter alerts, which covers 3 square miles of the city, is significantly lower, just 4 minutes, 55 seconds.
That's a very good thing.
Durham Police Chief Patrice Andrews told City Council this is what they hoped for.
We have seen a reduction in that time versus not having a shot spotter alert.
Renda Wilson is the owner of T-Bar Cafe. Her business is in the shot spotter coverage area.
I think the first reaction is that's good. I mean, if you're able to come out faster, that's good.
Wilson says a faster response could make the technology worth it.
I've heard other people, you know, suggest that they wish that the money could be spent for prevention, you know, instead of it being responsive. But hopefully we can do both. You know, if it's going to be a deterrent to gun violence, then I'm okay with it.
DPD is also tracking any harm associated with this technology. They have not received any complaints, and they are distributing this survey on door hangers to residents living in the footprint. Monica Casey, WRAL News in Durham.
As we look live at this beautiful picture coming from Beaufort, a sailboat coming down Taylor's Creek looks amazing. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now to talk more about what's coming in the days ahead. Kat?
Unfortunately, the Beaufort camera is not going to be looking like that for the holiday weekend. We do have some showers in the northeastern part of our state and in the extreme part, eastern part of our viewing area, but it's just a few sprinkles, and the air is really so dry that a lot of that may not be reaching the ground, at least here closer to central North Carolina. This is the focus, disorganized area of showers and thunderstorms toward Florida. That comes together as a coastal low in the coming days, and that's what's responsible for our not-so-great weekend weather. Saturday morning, 8 a.m., you can see the center of low pressure sitting offshore of South Carolina, but we've got the rain bands moving ashore. Saturday looks like it's going to be the wettest day of the weekend. Saturday, some of the pockets of rain could be heavy at times. And then as we get into Sunday, we're likely to see some weakening of the low pressure. We could see some spotty showers sticking around Sunday. Still a lot of question marks. This model may be underdoing the rain coverage a bit on Sunday. For Memorial Day on Monday, we may wake up to mostly cloudy skies, but some partial clearing into the afternoon should allow for temperatures to jump up near 80. And then we're going to be watching for some scattered showers and storms a bit later in the day. But that would be more of a typical summertime look, at least the way it looks now, where you have, you know, a warmer day, temperatures climb into the 80s, and then some of those thunderstorms pop up during the afternoon. By the time we get to the end of next week, though, we could be back near 90. Memorial Day, Monday, it looks like the nicest day of the weekend, even though there is still a chance for rain. 80 degrees, our forecast high. Keep checking in for updates. We'll get in high-resolution model data for Saturday. Starting tomorrow in Raleigh right now, 75 degrees. We've seen a lot of people out at the WRAL Azalea Gardens taking some pictures and enjoying this nice weather. 75 tomorrow in Durham, 76 in Raleigh, 74 in Lewisburg, 79 degrees in Fayetteville. Partly cloudy skies are expected tomorrow. Enjoy the sunshine that you see tomorrow. It'll be a few degrees cooler and breezy, but we're not going to see a whole lot of sunshine into the weekend. Mostly cloudy skies fill in on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday. Saturday looks overcast, Sunday mostly cloudy. Some peaks of sunshine, though, as we head into early next week. And by the middle of next week, temperatures warm into the mid-80s again. As for rain chances, there is a chance for rain Friday night, an 80% chance for rain on Saturday, 50% chance Sunday, and 30% chance on Monday and Tuesday. We'll keep a close eye on the forecast, especially for Saturday with the strong wind gusts and the high impacts to your weekend. We may be issuing a WRAL weather alert day, so check it back in tomorrow.
We'll keep watching. Thanks, Kat.
North Carolina Zoo, now the home to a brand new baby giraffe, and it's one of the cutest things you'll see today. So we're going to tell you a bit more about his entrance into the world after the break. It is graduation season, and a Wake County woman's 20-year journey to becoming a veterinarian is proving that persistence pays off.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Sharon Delaney has known since she was four she wanted to be an animal doctor. She first applied to NC State's prestigious College of Veterinary Medicine in 1999. She was rejected six times over 20 years. Well, finally, she was accepted in 2019 and graduated this month with her doctorate from the vet school. Dr. Daly has her first vet job at Bunn Animal Hospital. NC State's vet school accepts about 5% of the applicants.
Wow, congrats.
She's so inspirational. The North Carolina Zoo has a new baby giraffe.
Some vets working with this cute little guy. The giraffe calf was born over the weekend. Just 4 days old, already about 6 feet tall. That's how giraffes do it. The zoo and the other giraffes have been keeping a close eye on the mama giraffe for months now, waiting for the calf to be born. This one now makes 13 total giraffe births in the zoo's history. And for now, the little one will stay behind the scenes. The animal care team will decide when he's ready to be out there in the public. But cute pictures.
Adorable.
You know what? If your path is veterinary school, you
there
get to
you
work
go.
With these guys one
that
day.
That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
Thanks for joining us tonight.
See you at 10 and 11. Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.